for all in a go status.
ESPN 97.5, KFNC, Mont Bellevue, Houston, a Gao Media station. This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Prime Social Club. This is The Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's John Granato and Lance Erline.
Good Friday morning, everybody. John and Lance, along with Dell. Andre's out here hanging out. It is warm and balmy in here. I brought a winter jacket today and a vest just in case, but I think
I was ready for the winter wonderland.
I knew that was going to be it, a winter wonderland.
I literally got a coat in the car.
Yeah, no, I brought mine right here. Look, yeah. My winter jacket.
Yep.
I brought. But they apparently they got the message, Steven and Brent and all the guys here at Prime Social. And they turned up the heat for us. And
well,
it
I don't know
is,
about the heat.
Well, they didn't. Well, at least they turned.
It's right
what
now,
do you
it's
say?
Like 71 degrees.
What do
there.
You say? Turn the air down or yeah. turn the air up?
Well, in Houston, if you just turn it off, it will.
Well,
like,
I know, but turn the air down means.
Yeah. Turn the air down means not so
you
much.
You want it warmer.
Yeah.
Right. Right? Am I right? But that seems to be turn the air down means I want a lower degrees. But that's it's a very difficult and complex yeah. issue. That
well,
I don't think we should tackle at 7:01.
No, it's not cold in here. All the freezing cold was saved for the Aggies yeah. and for the Rockets
and
Pistons
Kentucky.
Game and for Kentucky.
And
there was plenty of freezing.
Oh, and Nevada. And, I don't know if you watched any of that debacle.
There was plenty of freezing cold yesterday on television
yes.
for you. If you like basketball, there was plenty of ice cold, freezing cold. Did you get a load of the Rockets game, by the way, John?
It was.
Did you see
it
the
was
shooting
horrific.
From the pit? The Rockets barely won an over. Well, they won in overtime. It looked more comfortable than it actually was. Rockets were down two in the last 20 seconds of the game, or last 26 seconds of the game. But did you realize the Rockets not blowing the Pistons out is unbelievable? Here's what. Let
really?
Me see what the final total was for 3-point shooting for the Pistons.
Well, how are you going to beat a team that's 6 for 38?
There, yeah, I was looking at the final. At one point, it was 2 of 24, 6 of 28.
38.
Shot, I mean, 6 of 38. I'm sorry, for 15.8% from three, and the Rockets had to win in overtime. I can't believe that was the case. Now the Rockets were a balmy 23.5%.
Well, that's better than 15.8%.
So the Michelle
Rockets, came this morning.
The Rockets,
kolache shop.
The
How
Rockets
that,
didn't
Michelle?
Exactly. The Rockets didn't exactly kill it.
No.
But yeah, the Rockets still got the win.
Well, the Rockets shot 35.4 from the field.
From everything.
From everything.
Yeah, yeah.
From the field, which is horrific. Which is not very good from three, let alone from the field. And but they did crush them from the line, shooting 64% versus 52% from the line from Detroit. What an horrific! And they scored 100 points. Of course, it was overtime. They scored 100-96. Now, Stan Van Gundy gave credit after the game to the Rockets' defense, but you want to talk about an abomination of offense last night? The Aggies.
Oh my!
The
God.
Nevada Loyola first half was maybe the worst first half of basketball I've ever seen in my life.
It was really really bad. And the Rockets Piston second half was equally bad on the pro side. Flipping back and forth, there was no respite. You had just terrible basketball going on.
Yes.
Calvin Murphy said, let's call it like it is. This is the worst game of the entire year. He goes, it was a win, but James Harden was absolutely terrible.
He was. He really was.
And the Aggies were terrible. I didn't even recognize that team. I'd say we nailed that pick.
I think
the Aggies are a team that could get all the way to the Final Four.
I think they still can. I think they're in the championship game. That's what I said yesterday, and I'm staying with it.
So how are we looking
now? Just because they came out and were blown out by as many as, what was it, did it get up to 29 in the first half? Just because they were down 29 in the first half doesn't mean that they can't go to the championship game.
Actually, it does, John.
Well, here's the thing is,
That's exactly what it means.
Is that an Aggie team that was thought to be a decent team and have a chance to do some special things would fall apart and be just horrific.
Well, I think we thought they could do some special things.
Bleep?
I don't know if real
people
how did.
Can you not even show Billy Kennedy's apparently this pre-game speech where he got them all pumped up?
Did he? Because he's been on our show.
And he was, what the bleep?
I just want to tell you something right now, Aggies. This is a chance for you to make history. If you can't get fired up about this, you're never going to get fired up. There's a lot of people out there watching right now. And this is a chance for you to go out there and do it for them, do it for your family, and do it for yourself. I want to hear from the person on this team who's ready to go out there and just rip someone's sack off.
I think that's a little aggressive for Billy.
Guys just
we're not ripping
their
sacks off.
Guys just checking their phones. What do you say, Coach?
What?
Get out there and go get them, guys. This is a chance for you to make
Wait, I got to get this tweet out. Hold on, Coach.
Make the Aggies.
Oh, my God. Talk about what the bleep. That's a good basketball team. How can you just freaking fall? I'm going to say it.
Aggies are banned from the show for a month.
How about this? University of Houston would have beat them by 30 last night. How about that, Aggies?
That's it?
Yeah.
Rob Gray would have put 60 on the
Aggies
yesterday.
Yeah, yeah. How about that, Aggies? How in the bleep do you just
you
not
gave
even
up 99 points in a college game? It only lasts 40 minutes.
That is
horrible. And they have a 30-second shot clock.
Look,
what are you doing?
I can't trust Lance's response to what happened last night.
Why?
His response is kind of clouded by what his wife gave him last night in terms of response. She called him an Aggie, and this is simply him responding to that on the air to prove
to Nevada,
he is Longhorn Lance.
Yeah.
It gets better, Dell. So Nevada gets beat. So we watch the last, we see the three from Loyola. Chicago nails the three to make it 69-65.
Five, right, up four.
We watch the rest of it, and they lose, and my wife's clapping, and the kids are – and I'm like, and she goes, show the little girl. I'm like, what? Are you a monster?
The little girl. Musselman's daughter
show the little girl now, she says. I'm like, what is this about? She goes, I'm glad Nevada got beat. And, of course, I hit her with, if they won, it made the Longhorns look better, which she wouldn't hear that. Threw a couple expletives at me. And then she said, now, and this is with the Aggies down 22. She goes, now go cheer for your Aggies that you and John thought were so great. I'm like, what?
Whoa.
Your
Nicole.
Aggies.
Nicole.
It's just a prediction
your
Aggies.
Oh, my God, she's so bitter.
Oh, just so salty.
She's a black cup of coffee. Mm-hmm. Jeez, Nicole. The Aggies still can get there, okay?
They can't, John. It's their season's over. This is an elimination game.
Talk about how – what the hell – I mean, honestly, Ags, can you – you suck me in again. You suck me in. I'm thinking the Ags can do it. They're on our air. Of course, they weren't on our air at the beginning of the game or whatever. I don't know what the bleep was going on there again. But
– Hey, Dave South here.
No.
It appears that we've been captured somebody from Polacek Sausage. What is happening? No, we're not on the air.
I don't know what the hell happened there.
Somebody has kidnapped me. I think it's the Cali Cartel.
What, Dave?
Dave South.
The Cali Cartel didn't kidnap
me. Something happened where it was just.
Maybe it was Dave South.
So, so that happened. Listen, team is. Okay, so you were great at the beginning of the season. I saw the West Virginia game. You're ranked in the top five. You guys put it all together. You had suspensions. You had injuries. I get it. So you go through the beginning of your SEC season, and it's tough. Okay, you guys have got it all together. This is really a top five team in the country. You can get to the Final Four. Not only the Final Four, but look at this side of the bracket. You guys can get to the championship game. Then I don't know, Villanova, Duke, whatever. You guys, What a great season, you guys, and you suck.
None of that was accurate.
Nothing.
Listen, at least for the sports fan, for the discerning sports fan out there, there was a lot of other great games. Like Florida State winning by 15 over Gonzaga as Gonzaga laid an egg. So there's a 9 seed that is advancing. Another 4 seed is gone. Kentucky, turds. They came back at the end and made it a respectable close game. But Kansas State.
It was not
off.
A good game.
It
except,
was, it
well,
was
Loyola Chicago.
Game. It wasn't good.
And that was one of the worst played basketball games I've ever seen.
It was a good game just because it was a
second half was
it was
good.
A close game.
Yeah, it was good. It was
a close game. So number 11 beats a 7. So here's what we're looking at for the grade 8, because John and I are bringing grade 8 back. A number 11, a number 3 in Michigan, a number 9 in Kansas State, and a number 9 in Florida State. Not great.
Do you realize?
Chris Solis' nightmares are coming true.
Yes, it is. Well, look at Kansas State or Loyola Chicago is going to be in the Final Four, guaranteed.
And, Dell, did you want to see that garbage at Florida State plays out there on the court?
Oh, yeah, I didn't. Oh, I didn't watch because I don't like watching them play, partly because of Florida State and partly because of the way they play basketball, so I wasn't sitting through that. I would rather watch Kansas State and that nonsense than Florida State basketball is hideous to me just because they play an ugly brand of basketball. But congratulations to them, I guess.
Do you realize that this is the first ever 9-11 matchup in NCAA tournament history?
Really?
In NCAA tournament history.
What?
Yeah, they've never gotten to this, a 9 versus 11.
Well, I guess Elite
It would
eight.
Have to get to Elite Eight.
I mean, this is really what we're seeing here. We're really, truly seeing why teams like Kentucky was a shell of themselves. I thought Kansas State had a good shot here because I've never bought into Kentucky. These teams that try to win with just these one-and-done teams are really the mid-majors now, the early seed teams. It's a real coin flipper what you're going to get. You still need the composition of veteran guards and good. I mean, this year, it's a joke, the early seed teams.
Where did they play their first two games? Were they in Boise?
Who?
Kentucky?
First two games tournament?
Of the tournament? Because did you see? That there were, nobody believed in that Kentucky team. There were minimal Kentucky fans in the first two games. You would think that they would, but I don't know. Nobody believed in this. This team was out of the top 20 for a while, or a top 20 team. They were 20th at some point. Nobody believed in them, and then they all go down to Atlanta. Ooh, now we're going to get to the final. And they were dominant. All their fans came down. Oh, how'd that taste? Look how disappointing. I'm glad because I said this for a while. The one-and-done thing at Kentucky is probably as difficult for a sport. For me, I would not want to be a Kentucky fan because it's so one-and-done all the time. How can you get behind?
It's one thing to have one, maybe two.
The whole team.
When it's always five.
Yes.
When you're rotating four to five every time.
And it's great for those kids. Don't get me wrong. I'm not. But to be a fan.
Well, but it truly does make a mockery of the student athlete.
Really does.
I mean, you know, it's one thing if you have a couple of guys and then the other ones fans get to see and they stay and they're into the school. One and done. Let's just be honest. I've never seen a player like Kevin Durant so into the Longhorns after being there
for one year.
I mean, you almost never see that.
But it's Austin, and you know those people, if they go, if you're
Ooh,
in Austin.
Dell, did you hear what he said? Those people.
If you're in Austin. For a half, if you're in Austin for a weekend, you're a Longhorn for life.
Yeah, he's talking about those cultists in Austin. I'll allow those people when he's talking about that.
Yeah, it's true though. Honestly, it's just another extension. It's a 1 year AAU team is all Kentucky is.
Yeah.
Because all they have to do is get enough grades in the fall to last till now, because you're not going to get any more grades to all you have to do is for one semester get enough grades so that you can get through and play through the tournament. Now, do you think any of those guys are going to go to another class? They're going to the NBA.
Yeah.
They're done. So to have Kentucky across their chest, they might as well have Kentucky AAU across. That's it. We're Kentucky AAU team for 1 year. And I find that difficult because you want to have some ties and have some pride that those guys actually attend your school. They went through some of the same things that you went through as a student athlete.
Well, we're seeing Kentucky is now starting to – they've had their struggles now since it was Nerlens Noel. They have – you know, they had a great run with Calipari, but it's starting to get a little tougher for him to find the right five – right, 4 or 5 one and duns to pull through to go to the all the way to the championship game. Now.
Well, look
it's,
at now what's
tougher.
What's happening is that these lower seeds or higher seeds, whatever, lower seeds have seniors, have juniors, have sophomores, juniors, seniors. They've got some college experience and they're beating these teams. Now this is an aberration. I think college basketball is weak this year as far as having any super teams, any great teams. And we saw this before the tournament. There are no really great teams. So what higher seeds are going to get through? Well, it's happening at an unbelievable pace this tournament. But this is coming to fruition. When you have players that have more experience, maybe they're not as good, but they know college basketball. They've been playing together for a while. They're playing better basketball than these one-and-done schools. They're just playing better basketball.
Yeah.
And it's finally coming to fruition they're winning in this tournament.
They're older. They're more experienced. This has been coming, though. I mean, the mid-majors are no longer really mid. We call them mid-majors, but we know they're the most dangerous. The seeding is done accordingly. They understand that it's dangerous. Hell, you know, Gonzaga is – I was telling my wife, they showed John Stockton yesterday, and I said he was – the first person I knew of that came from Gonzaga was John Stockton. Yeah. And she said, he went to Gonzaga? I said, yeah. And we were talking about when they were just God, I can't remember those little – the scrappy little white guys, Matt something. And remember that team like in the late 90s, early
Richie
2000s?
Richie Fromm,
that's it, yeah. There were two or three guys, Richie Fromm, and they were – and that was like – those are the Cinderella March Madness teams where really they're wildly underseeded at like a 13 or 14, but they're really good. And that's when mid-majors started to really – you had to really take them seriously. I think that team lost to St. John's, or maybe they beat St. John's. We're talking Meta World Peace. We're talking Ron Artest is the team they played at St. John's. And but now it's a given that if you play a team with, you know, three seniors and two juniors and a senior backcourt, like, you're in a lot of trouble if you play that team and you're a number four seed. Because a number four seed means that you've had some disappointments during the year if you've got a bunch of five stars on your
team. And Kentucky a five seed.
And you're probably mentally tough enough to handle
that. Kentucky had a lot of disappointments this year. Yeah. All right, my buddy says, Coach says, how about Villanova? You think they're happy right now? Yeah, I'm not sure they get past West Virginia tonight. Of course, I didn't think that Michigan get past the Aggies either.
Oh, my God. Look at what Longhorns are saying. www.0forsweet16.com. For the Aggies, he says, see y'all in spring practice. Leave it to the Aggies to all of a sudden become basketball school. Oh, never mind. And then Tori, our friend Tori who listens to the show, his wife, basically his wife and my wife are basically sisters. They're almost the same person, only one is a Longhorn and one is an Aggie.
Ooh.
He's like, you need to put my Nick and your Nick on the radio at the same time.
Ooh.
I think our houses were wildly different last night in how they responded to the Michigan game.
All right, 717 ESPN 97.5. Let's take one here. John and Lance live at Prime Social.
The good thing is the Aggies and Longhorns don't care anymore because they're like,
no,
well,
they
we're
don't.
Not at the same conference. I don't care about them.
Oh, no, they don't care.
I don't care about
no,
y'all
they
anymore.
Love each other now.
Yeah.
Because it's all just one big happy place. So let's talk about Texas Mattress Makers right now. My guy Yuval, I just love what Yuval does every single day. We're doing a charity drive next month where he is giving beds away. I mean, he is just unbelievable. Saw him on TV this weekend on Channel 13. I think he's on Channel 2 all the time doing stuff with their morning show. And the reason is because this is our Texas Mattress Makers is Houston's mattress company. I'm serious. There's no bigger. And you go to all these other ones, these national companies, and there's stores all over. They're Giant and Firm and all of these places. But guess what? You're paying way more for the same bed, exact same bed. You're paying about double because, oh, that's right, they make them at Texas Mattress Makers. You see them making them at Texas Mattress Makers. And you, my friends, are the ones who are going to benefit from Texas Mattress Makers getting this job done and getting it done better than anybody. When you see these beds, these inside of these mattresses, you're going to love them. So get there, 5026 East 3rd Street in Katy. Yeah, that's right, Katy. You have a store. And also 4619 Navigation, been there forever. You get the best night's sleep. You get the best beds in the business at about half the price at TexasMattressMakers.com.
You can now listen to all your favorite shows on the Amazon Echo.
Oh, sweet, dude.
Just say, Alexa, open ESPN 97.5.
Now playing ESPN 97.5.
We're all on a go status.
ESPN 97.5. KFNC, Mont Bellevue, Houston.
A Gao Media station.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Prime Social Club. This is The Bench.
The Bench.
On ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Friday morning, everybody. John and Lance, along with Dell. Andre's out here hanging out. It is warm and balmy in here. I brought a winter jacket today and a vest just in case. But I think...
I was ready for the winter wonderland.
Yeah, I knew that was going to be it. A winter wonderland.
I literally got a coat in the car.
Yeah, no, I brought mine right here. Look, my winter jacket.
Yep.
I brought. But they apparently they got the message. Steven and Brent and all the guys here at Prime Social, and they turned up the heat for us. And
well,
it
I don't
is,
know about the heat.
Well, they didn't. Well, at least they turned.
It's pro- right
what
now,
do you
it's
say?
It's like 71 degrees.
What do
there.
You say? Turn the air down or turn the air up?
Well, in Houston, if you just turn it off, it will.
Well, I know, but turn the air down means.
Yeah. Turn the air down means not so
you
much.
You want it warmer.
Yeah.
Right. Right? Am I right? But that seems to be turn the air down means I want a lower degrees. But that's it's a very difficult and complex issue. That
well,
I don't think we should tackle at 7:01.
No, no, it's not cold in here. All the freezing cold was saved for the Aggies and for the Rockets
and
Pistons
Kentucky.
Game and for Kentucky.
And
there was plenty of freezing.
Oh, and Nevada. And, I don't know if you watched any of that debacle.
There was plenty of freezing cold yesterday on television for you if you like basketball. There was plenty of ice cold, freezing cold. Did you get a load of the Rockets game, by the way, John?
It was.
Did you see
it
the
was
shooting
horrific.
From the pit? The Rockets barely won an over. Well, they won in overtime. It looked more comfortable than it actually was. Rockets were down two in the last 20 seconds of the game, or last 26 seconds of the game. But did you realize the Rockets not blowing the Pistons out is unbelievable? Here's what. Let me see what the final total was for three-point shooting for the Pistons.
Well, how are you going to beat a team that's 6 for 38?
I was looking at the final. At one point, it was 2 of 24. 6 of 28.
38.
Shot, I mean, 6 of 38. I'm sorry, for 15.8% from three, and the Rockets had to win in overtime. I can't believe that was the case. Now the Rockets were a balmy 23.5%.
Well, that's better than 15.8%.
So the Rockets,
Michelle came this morning.
Rockets,
Kolache shop.
The Rockets
that,
didn't
Michelle?
Exactly. The Rockets didn't exactly kill it.
No.
But the Rockets still got the win.
Well, the Rockets shot 35.4 from everything.
Yeah.
From the field, which is horrific. Which is not very good from three, let alone from the field. And but they did crush them from the line, shooting 64% versus 52% from the line from Detroit. What an horrific! And they scored 100 points. Of course, it was overtime. They scored 100-96. Now, Stan Van Gundy gave credit after the game to the Rockets' defense, but you want to talk about an abomination of offense last night? The Aggies.
Oh my!
The Nevada Loyola first half was maybe the worst first half of basketball I've ever seen in my life.
It was really, really bad. And the Rockets Piston second half was equally bad on the pro side. Flipping back and forth, there was no respite. You had just terrible basketball going on.
Yes.
Calvin Murphy said, let's call it like it is. This is the worst game of the entire year. He goes, it was a win, but James Harden was absolutely terrible.
He was. He really was.
And the Aggies were terrible. I didn't even recognize that team. I'd say we nailed that pick.
I think
the Aggies are a team that could get all the way to the Final Four.
I think they still can. I think they're in the championship game. That's what I said yesterday, and I'm staying with it.
So how are we looking
now? Just because they came out and were blown out by as many as, what was it, did it get up to 29 in the first half? Just because they were down 29 in the first half doesn't mean that they can't go to the championship game.
Actually, it does, John.
Well, here's the thing is,
what I can't believe is
that an Aggie team that was thought to be a decent team and have a chance to do some special things would fall apart and be just horrific.
Well, I think we thought they could do some special
things.
I don't know if real
people
did.
How can you not even show Billy Kennedy's – apparently this pregame speech where he got them all pumped up.
Did he? Because he's been on our show.
And he
Guys,
was – what the –
Bleep. I just want to tell you something right now, Aggies. This is a chance for you to make history. If you can't get fired up about this, you're never going to get fired up. There's a lot of people out there watching right now. And this is a chance for you to go out there and do it for them, do it for your family, do it for yourself. I want to hear from the person on this team who's ready to go out there and just rip someone's sack off.
I think that's a little aggressive for Billy.
We're
not ripping sacks off.
Checking their phones. What do you say,
what,
coach?
What?
Get out there and go get them, guys. This is a chance for you to make
Wait,
history.
I got to get this tweet out. Hold on, coach.
Make the Aggies.
Oh, my God. Talk about what the bleep. That's a good basketball team. How can you just freaking fall? I'm going to say it.
Aggies are banned from the show for a month.
How about this? University of Houston would have beat them by 30 last night. How about that, Aggies?
That's it?
Yeah.
Rob Gray would have put 60 on the
Aggies
yesterday.
Yeah, yeah. How about that, Aggies? How in the bleep do you just
you
not
gave
even
up 99 points in a college game? It only lasts 40 minutes.
That is
horrible. And they have a 30-second shot clock.
Look,
what are you doing?
I can't trust Lance's response to what happened last night.
Why?
His response is jaded. It's kind of clouded by what his wife gave him last night in terms of response. She called him an Aggie, and this is simply him responding to that on the air to prove
to Nevada,
he is Longhorn Lance.
Yeah.
It gets better, Dell. So Nevada gets beat. So we watch the last, we see the three from Loyola. Chicago nails the three to make it 69-65.
Right, up four.
We watch the rest of it, and they lose, and my wife's clapping, and the kids are – and I'm like, and she goes, show the little girl. Show the little girl. I'm like, what? Are you a monster?
The little girl. The little Eric girl. Musselman's daughter
show the little girl now, she says. I'm like, what is this about? She goes, I'm glad Nevada got beat. And, of course, I hit her with, if they won, it made the Longhorns look better, which she wouldn't hear that. Threw a couple expletives at me. And then she said, now, and this is with the Aggies down 22. She goes, now go cheer for your Aggies that you and John thought were so great. I'm like, what?
Whoa.
Your
Nicole.
Aggies.
Nicole.
It's just a prediction
your
Aggies.
Oh, my God, she's so bitter.
Oh, just so salty.
She's a black cup of coffee. Mm-hmm. Jeez, Nicole. Mm-hmm. The Aggies still can get there, okay?
They can't, John. It's their season's over. This is an elimination game.
Talk about how – what the hell – I mean, honestly, Aggs, can you – I got – you sucked me in again. You sucked me in. I'm thinking the Aggs can do it. They're on our air. Of course, they weren't on our air at the beginning of the game or whatever. I don't know what the bleep was going on there again. But
– Hey, Dave South here.
No.
It appears that we've been captured somebody from Polacek Sausage. What is happening? No, we're not on the air.
I don't know what the hell happened there.
Somebody has kidnapped me. I think it's the Cali Cartel.
What, Dave?
Dave South.
The Cali Cartel didn't kidnap
No,
you.
Something happened where it was just.
Maybe okay. It was Dave South.
So, anyway, that happened. But, team is. Okay, so you were great at the beginning of the season. I saw the West Virginia game. You're ranked in the top five. You guys put it all together. You had suspensions. You had injuries. I get it. So you go through the beginning of your SEC season, and it's tough. Okay, you guys have got it all together. This is really a top five team in the country. You can get to the Final Four. Not only the Final Four, but look at this side of the bracket. You guys can get to the championship game. Then I don't know, Villanova, Duke, whatever. You guys, it's. But
that's
you
all.
Get there. What a great, great season, you guys, and you suck.
None of that was accurate.
Nothing.
Listen, at least for the sports fan, for the discerning sports fan out there, there was a lot of other great games. Like Florida State winning by 15 over Gonzaga as Gonzaga laid an egg. So there's a 9 seed that is advancing. Another 4 seed is gone. Kentucky, turds. They came back at the end and made it a respectable close game. But Kansas State. Finished
it was not
off.
A good game.
It
except,
wasn't.
Well,
it wasn't
Loyola Chicago.
Game. It wasn't good.
And that was one of the worst played basketball games I've ever seen.
It was a good game just because it was a
second half.
It was
good.
A close game.
Yeah, it was good. It was a close game.
So number 11 beats a 7. So here's what we're looking at for the grade 8 because John and I are bringing grade 8 back. A number 11, a number 3 in Michigan, a number 9 in Kansas State, and a number 9 in Florida State. Not great.
Do you realize
Chris Solis' nightmares are coming true?
Yes, it is. Well, look at Kansas State or Loyola Chicago is going to be in the Final Four, guaranteed.
And Dell, did you want to see that garbage at Florida State plays out there on the court?
Oh, yeah, I didn't watch because I wasn't. I don't like watching them play, partly because of Florida State and partly because of the way they play basketball. So I wasn't sitting through that. I would rather watch Kansas State and that nonsense than Florida State basketball is hideous to me, just because they play an ugly brand of basketball. But congratulations to them, I guess.
Do you realize that this is the first ever 9-11 matchup in NCAA tournament history?
Really?
In NCAA tournament history.
What?
Yeah, they've never gotten to this, a 9 versus 11.
Well, I guess
it would
eight.
Have to get to Elite Eight.
I mean, this is really what we're seeing here. We're really, truly seeing why teams like Kentucky was a shell of themselves. I thought Kansas State had a good shot here because I've never bought into Kentucky. These teams that try to win with just – these one-and-done teams are really – the mid-majors now, the early seed teams – it's a real coin flipper what you're going to get. You still need the composition of veteran guards and good. I mean, this year, it's a joke, the early seed teams.
Where did they play their first two games? Were they in Boise?
Who?
Kentucky.
First two games of the tournament.
Because did you see that there were? I mean, like nobody believed in that Kentucky team. There were minimal Kentucky fans in the first two games. You would think that they would, but I don't know. Nobody believed in this. This team was out of the top 20 for a while, or a top 20 team. They were 20th at some point. Nobody believed in them, and then they all go down to Atlanta. Ooh, now we're going to get to the final. And they were dominant. All their fans came down. Oh, how'd that taste? Look how disappointing. I'm glad because I said this for a while. The one-and-done thing at Kentucky is probably as difficult for a sport. For me, I would not want to be a Kentucky fan because it's so one-and-done all the time. How can you get behind?
It's one thing to have one, maybe two.
The whole team.
When it's always five.
Yes.
When you're rotating four to five every time.
And it's great for those kids. Don't get me wrong. I'm not. But to be a fan.
Well, but it truly does make a mockery of the student-athlete thing.
It really does.
I mean, you know, it's one thing if you have a couple of guys, and then the other ones fans get to see, and they stay, and they're into the school. One and done. Let's just be honest. I've never seen a player like Kevin Durant so into the Longhorns after being there for 1 year. I mean, you almost never see that.
But it's Austin, and you know those people, if they go, if you're
Ooh,
in Austin. Gel.
Did you hear what he said? Those people.
If you're in Austin. For a half, if you're in Austin for a weekend, you're a Longhorn for life.
Yeah, he's talking about those cultists in Austin. I'll allow those people when he's talking about that.
Yeah, it's true though. Honestly, it's just another extension. It's a 1 year AAU team is all Kentucky is.
Yeah.
Because all they have to do is get enough grades in the fall to last till now, because you're not going to get any more grades to all you have to do is for one semester get enough grades so that you can get through and play through the tournament. Now, do you think any of those guys are going to go to another class? They're going to the NBA.
Yeah.
They're done. So to have Kentucky across their chest, they might as well have Kentucky AAU across. That's it. We're Kentucky AAU team for 1 year. And I find that difficult because you want to have some ties and have some pride that those guys actually attend your school. They went through some of the same things that you went through as a student athlete.
Well, we're seeing
whatever.
Kentucky is now starting to – they've had their struggles now since it was Nerland's Noel. They have – you know, they had a great run with Calipari, but it's starting to get a little tougher for him to find the right five – right, 4 or 5 one and dones to pull through to go to the all the way to the championship game. Now.
Well, look at now what's
tougher.
What's happening is that these lower seeds or higher seeds, whatever, lower seeds have seniors, have juniors, have sophomores, juniors, seniors. They've got some college experience and they're beating these teams. Now this is an aberration. I think college basketball is weak this year as far as having any super teams, any great teams. And we saw this before the tournament. There are no really great teams. So, you know, what higher seeds are going to get through? Well, it's happening at an unbelievable pace this tournament. But this is coming to fruition. When you have players that have more experience, maybe they're not as good, but they know college basketball. They've been playing together for a while. They're playing better basketball than these one-and-done schools. They're just playing better basketball.
Yeah.
And it's finally coming to fruition that they're winning in this tournament.
They're older. They're more experienced. This has been coming, though. I mean, the mid-majors are no longer really mid. We call them mid-majors, but we know they're the most dangerous. The seeding is done accordingly. They understand that it's dangerous. Hell, you know, Gonzaga is – I was telling my wife, they showed John Stockton yesterday, and I said he was – the first person I knew of that came from Gonzaga was John Stockton. Yeah. And she said, he went to Gonzaga? I said, yeah. And we were talking about when they were just – God, I can't remember those little – They had the scrappy little white guy, Matt something. And remember that team like in the late 90s or
Richie
2000s?
Richie Fromm,
that's it, yeah. There were two or three guys, Richie Fromm, and they were – and that was like – those are the Cinderella March Madness teams where really they're wildly underseeded at like a 13 or 14, but they're really good. And that's when mid-majors started to really – you had to really take them seriously. I think that team lost to St. John's, or maybe they beat St. John's. We're talking Meta World Peace. We're talking Ron Artest is the team they played at St. John's. And but now it's a given that if you play a team with – you know, three seniors and two juniors and a senior backcourt. Yeah. Like, you're in a lot of trouble if you play that team and you're a number four seed. Because a number four seed means that you've had some disappointments during the year if you got a bunch of five stars on your
team. And Kentucky, a five seed.
And you're probably mentally tough enough to handle
that. Guess what?
That
Kentucky
game.
Had a lot of disappointments this year. Yeah. All right. My buddy says, coach says, how about Villanova? You think they're happy right now? Yeah. I'm not sure they get past West Virginia tonight. Of course, I didn't think that Michigan get past the Aggies either.
Oh, my God. Look at what Longhorns are saying. www.0forsweet16.com for the Aggies. He says, see y'all in spring practice. Leave it to the Aggies to all of a sudden become basketball school. Oh, never mind. And then Tori, our friend Tori who listens to the show, his wife, basically his wife and my wife are basically sisters. They're almost the same person, only one is a Longhorn and one is an Aggie.
Ooh.
He's like, you need to put my Nick and your Nick on the radio at the same time.
Ooh.
I don't want to.
Oh, that would be.
I think our houses were wildly different last night in how they responded to the Michigan game.
All right, 717 ESPN 97.5. Let's take one here. John and Lance live at Prime Social.
The good thing is the Aggies and Longhorns don't care anymore because they're like,
no,
well,
they
we're
don't.
Not the same conference. I don't care about
oh,
them.
Oh, no, they don't care.
I don't care about
no,
y'all
they
anymore.
Love each other now.
Yeah.
Because it's all just one big happy place. So let's talk about Texas Mattress Makers right now. My guy Yuval, I just love what Yuval does every single day. We're doing a charity drive next month where he is giving beds away. I mean, he is just unbelievable. Saw him on TV this weekend on Channel 13. I think he's on Channel 2 all the time doing stuff with their morning show. And the reason is because this is our Texas Mattress Makers is Houston's mattress company. I'm serious. There's no bigger. And you go to all these other ones, these national companies, and there's stores all over. They're Giant and Firm and all of these places. But guess what? You're paying way more for the same bed, exact same bed. You're paying about double because, oh, that's right. They make them at Texas Mattress Makers. You see them making them at Texas Mattress Makers. And you, my friends, are the ones who are going to benefit from Texas Mattress Makers getting this job done and getting it done better than anybody. When you see these beds, these inside of these mattresses, you're going to love them. So get there, 5026 East 3rd Street in Katy. Yeah, that's right, Katy. You have a store. And also 4619 Navigation, been there forever. You get the best night's sleep. You get the best beds in the business at about half the price at TexasMattressMakers.com.
Hey, guys, I got something for you. If you like to live it up in style, if you're a baller, shot caller, 20-inch blades on your Impala, you might be interested in what I got to tell you from my friends over at One Concierge. My man Terrence Thomas is part of this group, and they help you travel in style. And guess what? Tiger Woods is a factor again. And is this going to be his first major since 2008? It very well could be. He is the favorite at the Masters. They've got a great offer for you. All you have to do is go to their website, jets4golfers.com, and they've got a chance for you to fly round trip in a jet accommodations to premium with premium flight catering and dining options. They're going to take you to Augusta, luxury ground transportation to and from your hotel with premium hotel accommodations, two-day or four-day passes to the Masters. Basically, this trip is completely set up for you to go and you and your buddies. If you'd like to see the prices on what you can get for two-day pass, maybe you've got your own transportation. You just say, man, I need passes. They got passes. Maybe you've got the hotel and the passes already. You just need to get there in style. They got a jet for you. No matter what you're looking for, they've got it for you at One Concierge. For more information about this opportunity for you to take you and your guys from your office or celebrate that big month or the big bonuses that you got, or maybe celebrate the opportunity to maybe see Tiger get that first major in over a decade, go to jetsforgolfers.com. That's Jets, the number 4, golfers.com, and check out the packages they have waiting for you.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Prime Social Club. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back. We were a little long-winded. A lot of comments, a lot of Aggie comments in here. And it's
comments from Aggies or about the Aggies?
And about.
I don't like listening.
Too much Aggie talk, fellas, from Jack K. Is it Jack K or Jackie? What is it? Jack Quay?
He's an Aggie.
She. What? It's a he?
Yeah, that's a he.
Jackie? Jack Quay? Jack Quay?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a, yeah. It
oh,
is.
I didn't know that. Why does she spell it? Why does he?
He.
I don't know.
He,
I don't get
he.
It. Ken says, looks like Clarence Thomas and his plane of Aggies will be heading to Vegas today.
It wasn't Clarence Thomas. It was Terrence Thomas.
It's the Supreme Court judge, isn't it?
His plane
Clarence
of
Thomas
Aggies
and his plane of Aggies will be headed to Vegas today. I
well,
told y'all.
Are, well, they are headed to Las
to
Vegas.
Yeah.
Yep.
I told you, but for those of you that missed the interview yesterday with Terrence Thomas, who Lance just did the spot for
get
those
on
guys.
The plane, Aggie.
Yeah.
Is what?
Yeah.
I got people
get
sending
get
me
back
a text.
On the plane, Aggie.
I got Steven sending me that text.
Terrence was here yesterday, and he said, "Well, if the Aggs lose, we'll just go to Vegas." Because I ain't ever heading to Vegas. Told you, I've been an Aggie fan way too long. Battered Aggie syndrome is a real thing. We have a safe house. Well, that's Mr. Positivity, too.
Sounds like
it. Let's see. I'm an Aggie fan. I can tell you it's been happening all season. To kick ass against a good team and lose to somebody they should beat. P.S. Ask your wife where UT finished. Oh, wow. That's towards your wife, Lance. Do we have to bring wives into the show?
Never understand this. Isn't it better to say your team lost to the best team in the country than the 16th best? But I guess Horn fans don't want anyone to have nice things. No, you just don't want people who vanquish you to do well. You
Why?
Want them to get
You want
beat.
Them to get better so that you lost to the champs.
So same thing in poker when the guy who knocks you out.
Yes.
You want them to do well.
Yes. You got all my chips. You better do something with them.
And if he's talking to you and if he's like,
oh, if he's
boom, he gives you something
well,
like
if that.
That.
No, that's different.
What?
What did Nevada give you a boom or did they just give you that little cute, that
fans?
Cute little girl on the courts and then do a little. Oh, by the way, she got in the middle of the last – after they came back against Cincinnati, they're all celebrating on the court and doing the interviews with Tracy Wilson or whoever.
Yeah.
The little girl weaseled her way underneath, and she was sitting there in the middle of it, and I'm like,
weaseled?
Oh my God.
Weaseled?
She weaseled her way in.
Weaseled?
She was a little pissant.
Oh, I don't think we call children pissants, John.
And she weaseled her way in between all the tall, you know, players.
You mean
that
her half
did all the work?
You mean her half brothers that were on the court already?
Not half brothers. They were the players.
No, her brothers were already part of the interview beforehand, and she was just next in line.
Got in on that was the second interview she got in on.
So anyway, she weasels her way, and she's sitting there like, "Hey, everybody, look at you! Didn't just come back from 22 down, little girl. Beat it."
She's a bigger star. She was a bigger star than any other players.
Can you believe?
Oh, yeah.
You believe what John's saying?
And
now?
Steph Curry's
can you
daughter
call,
beat it too.
Can you call little children pissants? Are we doing that?
Yes.
Didn't someone just have an issue with that?
Well, that's Tom Brady's daughter. You can't do that, especially if you're WEEI. Okay, you can't do that. Okay. But here you can do it.
Well, now we're never getting Eric Musselman on the show.
Oh well. Guess what? We're never getting Chris Beard again. We're never getting
Why?
Eric Musselman because been there. Guys, this ain't my first time.
I want Chris Beard back
ain't
on
Ain't my
show.
First time.
After his Whataburger thing.
Yeah, I heard some things about Chris Beard. Whatever. Anyway, so
what the hell was that?
Anyway, so we'll see tonight if you're gonna have Chris Beard back on. We'll see. What if Chris Beard, if he wins tonight, I'll love it because I bought him in the Calcutta. Let's go. Go Chris Beard. That's right. I bought people, Dale. How about that? I bought human beings. How do you like that? That's what I did.
John's having a good second segment.
Did we not have a Calcutta, and did I not
little
buy
pissant,
Tesla?
Little pissant, girl. I bought people, Dell. How do you like that?
How do you like it? How do you like it, Dell?
Hey, and this is totally alcohol-free. It's Lent. No, there's no
that, well. That's I think I get a little ornery. I get a little ornery towards the end of.
That's probably part of it. In the Rockets game, James Harden had 11 at the end of the game. I'm sorry. Yeah, he had 11 at the end of the game.
He scored 9 in overtime, or
10.
Yeah,
like he's got 11. It was 11, 6, and 5. I
well,
think
he was 4 of 20.
Well, he also had a weaselly play by Blake Griffin. Sliding in under him, pulling a Bruce Bowen, basically, on James's long jumper. That was absolutely intentional, and I'm surprised, and he got called, but I'm surprised that Rockets weren't all over him. Like, I'm surprised P.J. Brown didn't take his head off.
Well, and I'm
not P.J. Brown, I mean P.J. Tucker.
I'm watching, and James gets nailed in the lane, and he's on the ground, and I'm thinking to myself, why is James in this crappy game? Why? Honestly, from here on, now you won the game. Honestly, they can win basketball games down the stretch here. This is the best team in Rockets history. They're going to get the number one seed. Do they really? I saw Gerald Green and Joe Johnson were on the floor at the same time. Let those guys play. Let everybody play. It, the last thing that the Rockets need right now is to be undercut, for James to be laying in the lane after he's getting fouled, going to the basket. Honestly, do you not worry? You can't get rusty, but I think that you got to, honestly, how many minutes would you like to see James playing a night, average a night now, for the rest of the way?
I don't know. I just don't get into that. If he's fatigued, then I want him in the 20s. If he's not, what? If he's not fatigued, I just want him to keep doing whatever they're doing.
Well,
like,
why can't at 25 minutes a game, 20 to 25 minutes a game? Why can't he keep? He'll stay. What do you mean fatigued? How about it's a long NBA season?
Well,
how about the longer he's on the court, the more risk you have
I would
for
manage,
injury?
I think you can manage his the last two games. I think you can get him a lot of rest. Maybe the whole entire game. Over
but
the
I wouldn't.
Last
no,
months.
I would rather do it 20 minutes a game so that he stays fresh. He's not. You know what I don't like in the NFL is when you don't play the week 16. You don't play the week 17 game. Your 16th game. Then you have a bye. Now you've had 3 weeks off before that first playoff game.
I say this, and I honestly don't know this. Doesn't it? Like, does it make that much of a difference if James plays 24 minutes instead of 35?
Yes,
minutes?
It really does.
I mean, first of all,
risk of injury. And fatigue, by the way, what you were just talking about. 35 minutes is a lot more than 22. It's a lot more than 22. It's a lot of rest. You're not taking as much risk for injury. And oh, by the way, why does he have to? All he has to do is keep his shot sharp. That's all he's got to do now for the rest of the way.
Yeah. I do think that it's more likely he's going to rest closer to the games where he's like real time. Where he is fresh for those games than it is like right now. I don't know that giving him 24 minutes for 3 or 4 games in a row is going to have make as much of a difference as if he doesn't even have to suit out 1 or 2 games. I think that will give him better rest headed in. I'm not worried about him getting, I mean, James, they played a ton of basketball. He wasn't cold after he got done from the All-Star break, so why would he be cold now? That's why I don't really buy that, because after the season ends, you get into the playoffs fairly quickly. So I don't think James is going to, just because he gets an extra day off, I don't think that's going to mean anything to him. Hey, let's talk for a second about Gulf Coast Chevy. And it's really Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC. And my buddy, my friend, Craig DeSurf, I knew him and started doing business with him back in 2008. Love the guy. I really like him personally. And I love telling you about him. He's one of those guys that has a lot of energy. He's a fun guy. But most importantly, the reason I like him is I know he's going to take care of listeners. And it's my reputation on the line as well. When I speak for any customer, I mean, rather any client who is offering you product, I got to make sure that I really trust him. Well, I implicitly trust Craig DeSurf and his entire staff. I've known that staff since they were at another location here in Houston, and they do things the right way. They treat you the right way. There's nothing worse than getting out of your car and having a salesman sprint over to you to get all up in your face, what do we have to do to get you in this car? Like, oh, man, is it going to be one of these things? I don't need that kind of heat and hassle. What am I, in a mall kiosk and somebody's selling me Dead Sea Salt? I'm looking for a Chevy Silverado. I'm looking for a Yukon or a Yukon Extended Body. I'm looking for a Chevy Cruze or maybe a Chevy Traverse, which is what I'm driving, the crossover vehicle. In Angleton, they make sure that you are treated like family because they understand that it's not just your business they want. They want your family's business and your friend's business. And the only way they get that is treating you better than anyone else has treated you. So when you take that trip out to Angleton, 40 minutes away it may be, but it's worth thousands to you. And it's also tremendous customer service. They'll even valet your new car out to you here in Houston. That's how much they want your business. Go to the website LanceZCars.com and you can see all of their inventory and get started today on the purchase of your new vehicle. LanceZCars.com at Chevy Buick GMC.
Hola, soy José Altuve, All-Star y MVP. Si necesitas un vehículo nuevo, ven a Golf Car Chevrolet, Buick and GMC. Chevy, te encuentra camino.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Prime Social Club. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. Live at Prime Social. Playing today. I'm not going to be able to play today. You're going to play today.
Yeah, I'll just
in the tournament.
I'll knock out multiple people.
You get a bounty out on your head.
Yeah, I don't
Who
care.
Won it last week?
I don't know.
Who took your bounty? You should know. They beat you.
That one guy right there.
And that guy over in the corner. The guy that bitched about the speaker?
No.
Andres, you got the speaker.
No, this is a guy. Right? No, this is a guy who came from another table who was actually chip leader got me.
Oh, he did?
He was calling everything. He didn't care. He called me. I had like a king. I had to come in with like a king 10.
Dell, what's the best radio?
Poker radio?
When you two talk about individual hands you had like a week ago, congratulations.
Yeah, thanks.
Is that not the That's best radio in the business
No,
today?
You guys come out here. The tournament is there's a former World Series of Poker champ who's
Who?
Going to be here. I can't remember his name. Let me get
what
the name
What are you talking
for you.
About?
I don't know if you know.
You're
well,
playing...
you might know the name.
You're playing against Stu Unger today?
No. Not anything like that.
Well, he's dead.
The name is going to be... What's his name?
He's going to be here today. I'm going to beat his ass.
Well,
I'm going to show him who's king around here.
Well, okay.
At Prime Social.
John Friedberg. Poker pro and World Series of Poker bracelet winner.
I got it.
John Friedberg.
Oh, he's a bracelet winner. He's not a world champ.
Well,
he's a bracelet winner.
That means you won.
You means you won, but not the main event.
Oh, yeah. It's not a main event winner.
Oh, he just got a bracelet.
Rafer's going to be
Everybody's
here
got a bracelet.
But Rafer's
Hell,
here
I got
time.
A bracelet. Look, I got three.
Yeah, you didn't win anything.
Okay.
Rafe's going to be
got
here, too.
I got a 1561. I got a Yahoo Sport. All these are dead. I can take these off now sometime because they're all dead.
Yeah.
And I got American Cancer Society. So
keep
okay.
That
I'm proud of. The other two. So there's that today. I won't be able to play. I know it's disappointing to all of you, but you can come and you can play. You can beat Lance. And there's a bounty out. $100 chip for you. Guy next to me won mine. He was old and he ended up finishing. You know, they ended up chopping 10 ways. They had 10 guys left. It was the pot was 16,000. They each got 1,600 and they walked away. Nicely done. And if you were the chip leader, you got screwed. But oh well. They each chopped up 16 they chopped up 16,000 10 ways and they went on their merry ways and everybody went home happy. And it's a great time had by all. If you haven't played here at Prime, it is I don't know. I've seen a couple of them. But this, I don't know how it could be much nicer. This is Vegas casino nice, this place, this Prime Social. That it is well.
It really is.
It really is. I mean, the wood, it's oak, the chairs, the tables are brand new, everything.
The two guys who.
Even Dell was impressed, weren't you, Dell?
And he's not easily impressed.
We still talking about poker?
No, we're talking about the poker room, Dell.
Oh,
no, you guys
better.
can come over here and just come hang out with us. I mean, it's my buddy Sean, who lives in the neighborhood there, he came and had some pops, just sat around by the table while we were playing. Are you – you know what's funny is we're in that – I've always long not been a huge fan of spring training, but this is a little different because the team is a World Series champ. And we were talking about the Astros and closer, and we're talking about things to extend a World Series run. This is – you know, we've never had this conversation before. But I got to tell you, I'm really pumped up. I found myself just going through the roster and finding, like, where are potential moves they could make to make it even better by, you know, the trade deadline. And then I went to the minor leagues and I was looking at some of the, you know, top prospects, Baseball America, the way they have the Astros prospects ranked out. It is they really truly are in a position through the currency they have in the minors and then the roster they have, they are in position to do whatever they want or need to do. They really, if they want to go get somebody big time, they can use currency in the minor leagues right now to go buy it.
Oh, yeah.
They can go buy an even stronger team.
Well, but
I'll
tell you this. Jeff Luhnow is not one that he has been really good in not giving away big talent to better this baseball team.
Well, I mean, I think there was a concern that he was too –
he was too conservative on it.
He was in love with
too well,
many
he was
prospects.
Too conservative at the trade deadline, but then it worked out okay since he got Verlander at the waiver wire.
Yeah, yeah. But, I mean, I think that was a lesson that you need to have some – there are certain moves that trigger the ultimate championship. Like, sometime I think you get in such a build mode, build, mm-hmm. especially where you come from, where they came from. You get in such a build mode that it's hard to push your chips into the pot and know when to push your chips into the pot and go for that championship. And they really didn't. I mean, they didn't lose. Well, because Verlander is older and so expensive, you weren't going to lose Tucker. I mean, that wasn't going to happen. You don't give up a player of that caliber, the caliber of Kyle Tucker, for a pitcher who's in his late 30s who's owed so much money. If anything, you give up your talent and then you say, we're taking a lot of this money off your hands. You're going to pay for some of it. And that's what happened. But you didn't have to give up the farm for Verlander. But if it comes, you know, if you have another opportunity to get somebody who's younger than a Justin Verlander, a 31-year-old, a 32-year-old who's pitching at a high, and you just got Cole, but I'm just giving you an example, you got to consider, like, it can't always be about build. You're in the middle of it now. So now it's about extending without blowing the whole thing out. You don't want to blow out. Because the old Hunsicker and his squad kind of blew out the minor leagues.
Well, I love that, you know, Whitley and Tucker were untouchable. They just said, no, I don't care. You know what? And they bettered their team, and he stuck to his guns.
Well, Sonny Gray, none of those guys were blow out your minor leagues.
Well, like Verlander was.
Verlander was.
Which over the top.
But Verlander also was 30. Like, Randy Johnson.
Even so.
Here's what killed the Astros.
Yeah,
it
Freddie
was a great
Garcia.
Run, but Freddie Garcia, Halama didn't matter, but Freddie Garcia and Guillen, those two were longtime starters, and I think they both got All Stars. John Halama was the throw in, and that was a 1-year half season rental.
But that's okay. It gave you a chance to win a World Series for your first time. I didn't mind it at all.
It took two of your top four prospects off the roster.
That's okay. And if the Astros would have had to do that to get Verlander, it would have been a price worth paying.
Absolutely. The big difference is.
But they did it without doing that.
The difference is they have actually been building there. The Astros didn't have a lot behind that. They really didn't build roster their minor leagues for years. They kept siphoning off and they weren't rebuilding. And then Drayton really screwed everything by not allowing them to sign draft picks one season.
Drayton screwed up, really.
Yeah.
Okay, so when we come back, I want to see if they're coming back next week.
I didn't get to talk catch roll with you yesterday. We didn't talk about it at all.
No,
you and Dell did. We didn't even get into it.
Yeah.
I read Troy Vincent's commentary when it went down. It's just a common sense rule now. I don't think there's going to be a lot of based on what I read from Troy Vincent and the rules, I don't think we're going to have a lot of controversy at all anymore.
I don't know. I think there's going to be – I think we're going to find – you watch. This season, we're going to say, wait a minute. The refs decided that was a catch, but this one wasn't. There's going to be some controversy because it's too objective.
Well, let's talk about it.
It's too subjective.
Let's talk about it.
All right, let's talk about it on the other side. 713-780-3776 if you would like to get in here on ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776. Well, you and I both have to talk about Renter's Warehouse. And I don't know if the event was last night or it's coming up. But look on the website, renterswarehouse.com, to see when they're going to have. They've got a gigantic. If you're looking to get into the business of buying homes and renting them out, you talk to the guys at Renter's Warehouse, and they have a plan. See, because here's the deal. If you have a couple properties already, I'm telling you, I know a couple of guys that are doing this, and they're buying. And then they're basically giving their houses or their properties over to Renter's Warehouse. And then Renter's Warehouse does the rest. It's all you have to do is this is a one and making money and not doing it. See, my thing about making money and not doing a damn thing, can life be any better? If you don't have to do anything other than get the loans and get the credit to be able to buy homes and then let Renter's Warehouse do all the work, your life can't be better.
Renter's Warehouse does everything for you. I mean, you literally, it's a way that you can build wealth. If you are someone, look, it's for people who are having trouble selling their home and they want to rent it out and start making money on that so someone else is paying your mortgage. It's for people who have multiple properties and they're trying to build wealth through that way. It's people who maybe have multiple properties and this is your mode of income. They make it more efficient, more streamlined, and more profitable for you with renterswarehouse.com. Give them a call today, 713-224-RENT, and they will get you an estimate of what your house should rent for. Or, for more information, go to the website, renterswarehouse.com.
ESPN 97.5.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Prime Social Club. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
We are live from Prime Social here at 7801 Westheimer. It's between, you know, the tricky Hillcroft-Voss connection that is actually the same road that splits at Westheimer. It's like a civil war between Voss and Hillcroft. And then Voss is the fancy side. I live near Hillcroft, which is, we have delicious Mediterranean food and Indian food and Nigerian food. And we are a Guatemalan food. We are a diverse people on the Hillcroft side. The Voss side thinks they're a little fancy and a little bit better than everyone else, if I'm being honest. But you head west before you get to Dunvale, you will run into freestanding building with valet parking. It is going to be Prime Social. Stop in here and play the poker tournament with us at noon. You have a chance to win thousands of dollars. Just jump in here. If you knock me out, you got a bounty. I got a $100 chip with your name on it. You get in, you buy in into the tournament at $100. Guess what? You knock me out, you got a $100 chip that is worth $100, obviously. And so you get your money back. So we're going to have a fun time doing that. Look forward to you guys being here. Ray for Alston's going to be here. Other Rockets, former Rockets, may be here as well. You'll find that out. John Friedberg, who is a World Series of Poker bracelet winner, which means he's won an event. Not the main event. He's won an event. He's going to be here as well. Great food, drinks available, really fun setting, and I think you're going to really, really enjoy it. The catch rule, I'll make it quick. Based on everything that I read, I think it's going to turn into a common sense rule where you say, look, if you maintain possession of it, even if it moved around in your hand, it's still a catch. There's plenty of times the ball moves around in your hands or things like that. They're going to defer. They're going to be very I think they're going to be very liberal with their interpretation of what a catch is now because there's too many that have gone awry. Is going to be a common sense rule that if you have it and you didn't lose possession, if it moves around in your hands while you have possession, that's a catch. And unless you lose possession of, I think the only way, based on my interpretation, is you really are going to have to lose possession of the ball. And I mean outside of your hand or be helped where you, if you make the catch first, if you're held by the ground, it's still going to be a non-catch. You can't have the ground. You can't trap it against the ground. But we know what that looks like. We're not stupid.
Okay.
How many times have you looked and said, this needs to be a common sense rule?
Well,
we know
okay.
what a catch looks like.
So he's going out of bounds. He catches it, and he kind of bobbles it. Catch?
No.
Okay.
I'm going to tell you that's going to be called a catch.
If it's getting loose and he gathers it in.
You've got to have possession while your feet are in. That's okay. a standard rule.
But then he goes out and he's bobbling it.
Now, if you have possession, if you bobble, no. Bobble's not possession.
I'm telling you, it's going to be a catch this year.
No, bobble's not possession.
Watch.
It's got to be, it clearly states, if you've got possession.
And it's slipping out a little bit, it's moving a little bit,
it's going to be
a catch.
No, it won't.
Yeah, it will.
I'll read you the rules. It's clearly not going to be. I've got it all sent to me.
Yeah, I saw the rule, too.
And it's clearly not going to be a catch. You've got to have possession. That's not possession. Bobbling is not possession.
I'm telling you that there are going to be more, not as much controversy because it's just, but at least we knew what, did you think that.
Wait, you think this is worse?
I think this is worse.
Oh, my God. It was terrible. Jesse James, they cost the Steelers.
Well, that he was reaching.
That should have been a touchdown.
That should have been a touchdown. Absolutely.
And it will be.
And Dez should have been a touchdown.
And everyone said these are touchdowns now.
Right. But they called Clement's touchdown. I didn't think that should have been a touchdown in the Super Bowl. That ball was moving as he was going out. That ball was slipping out of his hands, and they called that a touchdown.
But it was inside.
But it doesn't matter. It was moving and it was slipping, and he cradled it.
Well, look,
as he was going through the end zone, that should not have been a touchdown.
Do you like baseball?
I love baseball.
There is a ton of subjective calls. Every single time there's a pitch, there's a subjective call.
Oh.
And we don't complain about that.
Yeah, well, of course.
Balls
yes, we do.
Strikes are all
yes,
subjective.
We do. I would love to see a strike zone that was.
They've got them. They've got Questech could right now take over, and we have no home plate umpires.
And they don't. And they should.
Right. That would be great.
That would be, that's taking the subjective out.
I think you're going to be very happy that there's not going to be controversial ones.
Oh.
If you're bobbling, it's not a catch.
I disagree. I will remember this conversation. There will be not as much controversy, but there will be plenty of controversy over catches next year.
Let's remember this conversation because don't forget, I'm saying the rule is still in place. If you bobble, it's not a catch. This is made specifically for the catch that has movement inside the catch, where it's moving inside of your catch, where we all know when you have possession. The ability to reach, when you hit, the ground is not going to cause the fumble anymore. The ground is not going to cause the fumble. You're good for when you're stretching and making a football play. And it also states what a football play is. It very clearly defines football play, which I don't know if it was clearly defined or not. It just seemed like it was inconsistent. I didn't get to hear all your thoughts. What did you think about the rule?
I'm probably more on John's side with how it's going to go down. I mean, it's going to be common sense, and if we're going to leave it up to every referee to decide what is and what isn't a catch as opposed to having a rule that's written in stone, we're going to have problems because one week the Steelers are going to have a touchdown taken away, and then the next week in the same play or the same looking play, it won't be a touchdown taken away. I think it'll be like how the NBA kind of judges things. What is that? Is that? It was that's a foul at certain points, but it's not a foul now.
So would you rather keep the same old rule that we had where there was no common sense used?
Well,
I don't think the old rule I think the old rule was bad for football.
Yeah.
And it was universally disliked. I don't know why you wouldn't change it.
I'm telling you, we're going to have some because you're leaving. Just like interference, some refs will call interference.
Yeah.
And what? If you make it subjective, if you make it that it's interpretation, if you make it that the referees will have to interpret, they're going to interpret it wrong.
Just like targeting, pass interference, hold, all of it.
Yeah. It's going to be subjective. But that's
not subjectivity.
Football. Either it's a catch or it's not a catch.
No.
I don't want this ref to rule it one way and another, just like umpires with the strike zone. Oh, well, this umpire's got a high strike zone. No, if it's a strike, it's a strike. If it's not, it's not.
John, that's the reality of sports.
But I don't
We're not robot-driven. Only tennis is robot-driven. That's it. Everything else in boxing not, clearly. That's a big disaster. But, I mean.
But do you really want a ref to decide whether that's a big catch or not?
Do you want a ref to decide if it's a blocking in the last minute of the game? They're well, going I can't,
there's nothing you can do about that.
And there's nothing you can do about having referees.
Well, no, but if I have a clear cut, that's a catch, not
there
a catch.
Wasn't a clear cut definition last
year.
Yes,
there was.
If you didn't
catch it through the ground.
You didn't complain about that rule. You did with Calvin
Johnson.
No, but
at least I knew when I was watching the replay, oh, that's a catch or that's not a catch.
Change. If you know it's a bad rule, change it. I would rather deal with the subjectivity of holding, not holding, holding, not holding. If there's going to be three controversies a year, four controversies where you say, look, there's always going to be, that should have been a hold. That shouldn't be interference. That's part of sports. We do that every single game, every single day. That's nothing new. I would rather have that than this. This catch rule stuff, like, where did it come from? How did it even originate? It didn't make any sense.
See, but that's why
Calvin Johnson had a clear touchdown.
No, Calvin Johnson, Dez, Jesse James, all those were catches.
They will be catches.
They didn't
now.
Use – and you know what? I disagree wholeheartedly. See, they did take two steps. They did have the ball. They were reaching. You have to have common sense. So use common sense. But but when you say, well, that slightly moved, it was a bit of a bobble, but that's still a catch now. And the other one says, no, that's not –
I know the players
– I don't want
– the players like –
well, we'll see. I'm going to tell you this, Lance. There's going to be – controversy.
Well, there will
about
always
this.
Be a controversial
no,
play.
No, you said there wouldn't be any controversy.
No, there'll
now.
Be a controversial play. I don't think there's going to be as much as you think there is.
Oh,
you
I
think it's going to happen
I,
all
I
the
do,
time.
I do think
I think it's going to be
I think
way
every
better.
Week. I think every week we're going to hear
I
it.
Think everyone,
in one game they're going to show a guy making almost the same exact catch. One ref is going to call it a catch, and one ref's going to call
but
it a
But you know what? At least touchdowns and first downs and catches will be catches now. I would much rather have somebody interpret this or this than take away what should be a touchdown and should be a catch, and everyone says, in what world is this not a catch?
And in what world do you think – listen, I think what we found out over the last few years, the incompetency of referees, and especially in – well, the NBA is the worst, but the NFL is catching up. And we've seen so many blown and so many idiot. You're like, really? This – and now we're giving them more subjectivity? To me, I think it's a – it'll be – I think it's going to be terrible.
You know, I just think
well,
that
we're going to review this again in 2 years, and they're going to change it again.
No, no way. Because here's the thing. You can't say at least we knew what a catch was when every single week everyone says, I don't even know what a catch is anymore.
Right.
That was the whole problem is no one knew what a catch was with this old rule. And now that at least you know what a catch is supposed to be, which frankly to me is common sense. If the ball's moving around but it has no impact on the catch, that's a catch. If you're bobbling, that's not possession.
If
possession
he's sliding out
change.
Of bounds and the ball's moving around.
You gotta have possession.
Well, again, I'm telling you, you're going to find it's going to be that you're going to have a lot of controversy.
And you know somebody, one person's possession is not another person's possession.
That's right. That's right. That's exactly right.
And I don't know.
You watch. I think it's going to be a disaster.
There's some uniformity in the NFL with how they call things. I mean, they have those things. You used to be do sideline where they have to come in and they talk to teams about here's what we've reviewed. This is going to be called. There's a point of emphasis here. The NFL does things a little differently where they say we've reviewed. We want to make sure everyone's on the same page with what this is and with what this is because the officials they are
well.
Then,
well, yeah. You know what that usually resulted in. Well, we're going to watch now because there's a lot of defensive holding down the field. Now, it's just you know what that means? There's a boatload of flags.
Oh, yeah.
Boatload of flags of now emphasis. Because, oh, now we're watching
and
it.
Why was that? They wanted more points. They wanted more scoring.
Right.
Point of emphasis.
But even still.
But it was a rule.
Well, we want more catches because that'll
Let me
be
tell
more
you,
points.
The worst, and you guys probably know this, from watching college tape now, I cannot believe defensive backs are allowed to almost commit crimes against wide receivers. They're allowed to grab, hold, tug, choke. I saw somebody with a triangle choke on a wide receiver, yes. And the ref's like, sorry.
The body slammed him?
I mean, no, you were literally allowed to maul, and they won't call anything on college. Anything.
All right, you know what we need to call is indoor comfort specialist, 713-666-1101, 713-666-1101. How long have we known Jerry and Frank and all those guys
Long
over
time.
There? And you get all your stuff there with them, and I when we had the house, they were so awesome. I literally, it is the most conscientious company. Jerry and the geothermal, oh my God! You want to talk about these guys are the leaders. If you want to have, if you're building a house or a business and you're starting from scratch, do the geothermal because long-lasting, and saves you unbelievable money over the length. Now, you got regular air conditioner. How about a 22-point check for just $49?
That's it. And they come in and they look at your system inside and out. And if you check out, which I remember I had that done like 7 years ago, the 22-point check system. I need to have it done again this year, actually. But they come out and they say, okay, here's what we got for you. And they show you, and it may say, like, this could be replaced by right now, but it doesn't have to be. This is an issue right now. Everything else checks out. Or you might get a clean bill of health, which also happens where they say, you know what, your system looks great. The only thing you need to keep, you know, an eye on over the next couple of years might be this. And that's because you can trust them, because they're out there trying to take care of you, not trying to sell you something that you don't need. Call the Indoor Comfort Specialist today at 713-666-1101. That's 713-666-1101, or go to indoorcomfortac.com.